Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage. It's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the radiation poisoning of America right after this. You know, when the federal income tax was launched back in 1913, the tax was levied only on the super wealthy, the richest one-half of 1% of our population, with a total tax rate of only 7%. Today, of course, the fears of those early opponents of this tax have been more than fully realized. And by the end of Herbert Hoover's term, the top tax rate had jumped to 60%. By the time Franklin D. Roosevelt was done, the top tax rate was over 90%, and the tax had been dramatically expanded to seize the incomes of the middle class for the first time. In 1913, the average family had to work until January 30 in order to earn enough to satisfy the tax man at all levels. This year, the average American family had to work all the way through May 12th in order to earn enough to pay their federal, state, and local tax bills. When you compare this to the plight of medieval serfs, says economist Daniel J. Mitchell, they only had to give the lord of the manor a third of their output and they were considered slaves. Now, what does that make us today? This income tax and Social Security tax violate three of the Ten Commandments. And it violates eight statutes of the Old Covenant, including our English common law. Now, the income tax and Social Security tax are two criminal activities. This income tax is the second plank to the Communist Manifesto, and Social Security is the eighth plank. That's why I contend that you owe it to yourself to at least ask the question, do I really want to participate in this kind of criminal activity? If you'd like more information about tax and status, call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package while you're at it. It's a four-hour commentary on the law school. Remember, it's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free. Tax and status is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. Click on the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about radiation, the radiation poisoning of America, not from a nuclear weapon, but from your local cell tower, which may be on top of your apartment building, or it may be alongside the highway across the road from your house, or it could be located in the hill, or on the hill overlooking your town. And you're getting dosed with this radiation every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And there are some problems, health problems, associated with these microwave radiation towers. Now, last time, we started out with some fundamentals, and we took a look at cataracts. There's a news item that's been hopping around on our desk here for the last couple of years, and it's the bees dying off. It's what they call hive loss. They got a label for it. We'll see it here in a little bit. And these bees are just disappearing. It isn't like they have foul brood. It isn't like they have a virus. It isn't like there's a mouse gets into the nest or something like that. They just go open it up and there aren't any bees in it. They're all gone. There are no dead bees in it. Bees are just gone. And, of course, the question occurs, well, what's happening to the bees? What kind of disease is this? What kind of a malady are we facing here? Hive collapse, I think, is what they call it. Well, microwave radiation is killing the bees, despite the cell phone industry's disinformation campaign. Microwave radiation is killing the bees. Now, this seems to be the argument I hear all the time. There's no scientific proof. At least that's the claim planted by the disinformation specialists and repeated by laypeople the world over. The hell there isn't. There is a massive amount of scientific proof, despite the cell phone industry's attempt to bury it and put pressure on journalists not to publish it. Well, after the first news cycle, the mobile phone industry hit squad went into action. First, they planted stories that cast doubt on the Einstein quote, and never before have I seen such a desperate attempt to distance a quotation from a figure as revered as Albert Einstein. In the process, his name was besmirched. It's very sad, I would say. Next, they conscripted scientists from a number of universities to begin going public with other explanations, such as viruses and bacteria and pesticides. These alternatives have been making the rounds over the past month or so. The mobile phone industry is putting a lot of money into the pockets of these scientists by supporting their work regarding viruses and alternative explanations. The industry is dealing with this as a political and public relations problem. Thus, manipulation of the public perception is the appropriate remedy for them. Sadly, this is business as usual for the mobile phone industry. Here's a letter I have read recently in Salon.com that the theory that bees are disappearing because of exposure to EMR, electromagnetic radiation, is not supported by any science. You were on Good Morning America supporting that theory. So, who is correct? He answers the letter by saying, unfortunately, the situation with the bees is a page out of the playbook that we deal with all the time with the mobile phone industry. When the bee story first broke, it was based on a German study that showed information carrying radio waves disrupted the ability of bees to make it back to their hives. That work was made public about 2 months ago. There were other data to support it as well. Now, you can see some of that on our SWI site. Note especially an exceptionally insightful article by Milt Bowling posted there. Now, the news media ran with the story. It was bolstered a great deal by a quote attributed to Albert Einstein. Einstein said, "Watch the bees when they disappear. Man will disappear within 4 years." The mobile phone industry was caught off guard by the widespread media attention that the story garnered, especially with the quotation from Albert Einstein. So after the first news cycle, the mobile phone industry hit squad went into action. First, they planted stories that cast doubt on the Einstein quote. And never before have I seen such a desperate attempt to distance a quotation from a figure that is as well known as Albert Einstein. In the process, Einstein's name was besmirched, and it was very sad, I thought. Next, they conscripted scientists from a number of universities to begin going public with other explanations, the standard explanation for bees and their breakdown or their diseases, such as viruses, bacteria, and pesticides. Now, these alternatives have been making the rounds over the past month or two, and the mobile phone industry is putting a lot of money into the pockets of these scientists by supporting their work regarding viruses and bacteria and alternative explanations to get everybody's minds off of the electromagnetic wave pulse theory. The industry is dealing with it as a political and public relations problem. Thus, manipulation of the public perception is what they believe is the solution for them and their industry. Now, most people in the public don't know the backstory, so they don't see the manipulation They don't see the manipulation coming or have the necessary basis for skepticism to see through this public relations ploy by the industry. But here is the bottom line. The colony collapse disorder has occurred concurrently on four continents simultaneously within a very short time frame. If the reason was biological or chemical, there would be a pattern of epidemic spread, and we would be able to trace the spread of bee disappearance or colony collapse disorder from a source similar to the spread of SARS a few years ago, as an example. This is not the case. The condition has hit each continent at roughly the same time, and that would mean the cause has to have hit the continents at the same time as well. Mobile phones meet that criteria. None of the biological or chemical hypotheses actually have a mechanistic explanation that is plausible. The science for the biological and chemical alternatives is far thinner than the science supporting the EMR connection. A case of the pot calling the kettle black. The disruption of intercellular communication hypothesis that we know now affects cell membranes in most species, and it is biologically plausible, and no other theory has that support. The basis for a biological mechanism coupled with the saturation in information carrying radio waves we have globally in the past 14 months provides the underpinning. In 2004, we had the first 1 billion cell phone users globally. The accumulation over 20 years, by mid-2006, we had the second 1 billion. Today, we have surpassed 3 billion. That suggests that we are near a saturation point of these waves in the ambient environment. The bees are likely the harbinger or proverbial canary in the coal mine. Taken altogether, the EMR is the only explanation that makes sense regarding the disappearing bees. The timing is correct. The problem has occurred primarily within the past 2 years, when we have nearly tripled the background level of information carrying radio waves. The pattern is global, so that scientists suggest a cause that is globally present. There is at least one peer-reviewed study that supports it, and there is a mechanism documented that lends biological plausibility. Now, in our view, this is a serious red flag. It's a red flag of risk that should be heeded. And this is yet another example of the mobile phone industry orchestration aimed at distracting the public from data that can save lives. Now, the colony collapse syndrome, the role of EMF, potential food shortages, and the manipulation of markets. Colony collapse syndrome is called CCS, and it poses a serious risk to bees as well as to global agriculture. Bees are critical not only in producing honey, but they also serve as the main crop pollinators for one-third to one-half of the agricultural produce in this country. Bees are pivotal in their role as plant pollinators. Many of the crops that depend on bees are many of the berries and fruits as well as citrus crops. Now, additionally, bees are critical to maintaining the viability of many of the nut crops that are produced. Nut crops such as cashews, pecans, and almonds. Another role is that bees are necessary also in pollinating many of the crops that are necessary to establish many of the crops that we use to restore the soil, such as clover, beans, and legumes. There has recently been noticed an epidemic of die-off of bees, or perhaps more correctly, the total disappearance of bees from their hives. What is noticed in many of the hives, that are put out is that after a certain period of time, that is that the bees become vacant or the hives become vacant or empty, there are no bees to be found, no dead bodies in the hives. The hives are simply empty. And also, what has been noticed is that other opportunistic insects will avoid the hives as well. So you don't find other insects going into those hives and taking them over. Now, there are many theories put forth to explain this die-off. Pesticides have been noted to be one contributing factor. One possible explanation is that the pesticides, which are neurotoxins, cause the bees to become forgetful or toxic and fail to lay down memory tracks of their pollinating activities. Thus, the bees literally never return to their hives. However, there is little evidence of pesticide activity which has been found. Another fact is that the die-offs have been occurring at the same time on four different continents at the same time of year. The agricultural markets in other countries do not use pesticides or use the earlier variants, which do not produce the same effects. Now, another possible explanation has been parasites or viruses. Now, there have been parasites noted in earlier isolated breakouts, but not on a global scale. And also, what has been repudiated is a common virus. However, the same reasons apply. And also, many animals which become toxic from EMF, the effect of which is accentuated by heavy metals and toxins, often show a breakdown in immunity with the appearance of pathogenic organisms, be they parasites, fungi, bacteria, or viruses. The organisms found are particular to the species affected, but may indicate no more immune stress. Now, what other common links can there be to explain a global epidemic that occurs at the same time of the year, and it seems to affect bee populations equally, regardless of the pesticides or pests that they may be exposed to? One common link could very well be the electromagnetic disruption that is occurring at this time and is being caused by the discriminate and indiscriminate use of microwave technologies. The main technology would be the globalized electromagnetic network that has been produced for telecommunications. Now, it is commonly held that bees orient themselves to light, and upon returning to the hive, they go through a complex dance to relay this information to other bees. However, bees also use the electromagnetic fields of the earth as a force for orientation. The bees have a gland that is called the mushroom gland. It's located in their abdomen. This gland functions much like a compass. The difference is that it relays constant data back to the brain as to where the bee is, much like the function of a flight recorder. This ability to navigate tells the bee where they are in time and space. Now, this forms the basis for laying down memory tracks and organizing information, the very basis for learning. The bee's orientation to the Earth's electromagnetic signature is a reliable, simple, and dependable means of orientation and navigation that is not dependent upon the variables of light or weather. However, one problem remains. The bees do not count on the signal being jammed by outside sources. Research has shown that the mushroom gland, is sensitive to the same frequencies that are emitted by cell phones, the mast towers or satellites. In essence, artificial microwave frequencies jam this mechanism and the bees become disoriented. The bees cannot figure out where they are. They cannot lay down memory tracks, so they become lost. Illness and pesticides would cause a gradual die-off, and dying bees would be found in the hives. With CCS, no bees are found in the hives. Microwave interference is the only plausible means of explaining why this phenomenon is being observed and observed at this time. It also explains why it is occurring simultaneously on a global basis, on four continents simultaneously. Another feature that is commonly noted in animals is their avoidance of places that have an altered electromagnetic signature. This is commonly seen in nature. For example, with, for instance, earthquakes, it has been noted that the hive itself acts as a resonator in tune with the Earth's electromagnetic field. EMF, or any outside influence that alters the spin of the electromagnetic signature of the hive, would automatically act as a repellent to these insects. They would automatically avoid going back into the hive. Such a phenomena of reverse spin can be easily demonstrated by dowsing. The anecdotal information gathered could be of great value in resolving this issue. Now, given the pivotal role that bees play in agriculture, that could be some of the consequences of a massive die-off. Well, there would be a collapse not only of the bee industry, but also many of the commercial crops that are dependent upon. This would tend to cause a collapse of the large commercial farms in the country, with an overdependence on foreign sources of organic sources. This would tend to drive up the price of the foods affected, and at the same time making them generally available to the overall population. Many of the foods affected are important sources of natural antioxidants, fiber, and oils. Now, this might create an increased dependence on artificial sources to compensate for the lack of natural products in the diet. Another consequence would be the increased dependence on the standard grain crops that are used, which would force up their prices. Who would benefit from all of this? Well, certainly not the consumer. The artificial control of market availability of products to create inflationary prices at the cost of human lives is certainly not unique. One does not have to stray that far to observe this style of hand-wringing and handwriting on the wall. Human history is replete with examples of a few individuals controlling the destinies of nations, producing dependency on their technologies, and profiting from their control of the marketplace at the expense of other human beings. And indeed, this is a signatory of our current economy. One might attribute these changes as early harbingers of earth changes, or perhaps the hand of providence. However, the one constant is human greed and man's inhumanity to man. So as with bees, so the same effect is being observed in humans. Note the rise in autism, memory disturbances, and related disorders. The global alteration of our environment, without regard to the limitations of our biology, will have profound effects for all life on this planet. This is a timely and an urgent matter that involves everyone on planet Earth. The author asks the question, would you put your head in a microwave oven and turn it on? Well, I think most of us would say no, I don't think I would do that. All right, we're talking about the radiation poisoning of America, primarily from cell phone towers and cell phones, but it's not the only source. Now, the diagnosis and management of patients presenting with presumed electromagnetic hypersensitivity, or EHS, by Dr. David Dowson, D-O-W-S-O-N. He says radiation sickness from overexposure to non-ionizing electromagnetic emissions has been recognized over many decades. It formerly only arose in the context of industrial and military processes, such as radar operators and electrical supply workers. The increased widespread use of many new electrical devices in both home and the workplace at the same time, as completely original technologies based on microwaves have been introduced, and this has spread this environmental trigger. Now a vulnerable minority of sensitive individuals are presented with identical symptoms to those previously only resulting from specialized circumstances. 1 to 3% may be affected at this juncture of time. As Sir William Stewart, the head of the UK Health Protection Agency and the National Radiological Protection Board, has repeatedly said in his safety report with regard specifically to mobile telephone microwaves. It is simply not possible to say that there are no potential effects on the human population. And it is difficult to talk about the population because populations vary. Antibiotics do a wonderful job for the general population, but there is a subgroup in the population that is allergic to antibiotics, and consequently they cannot take them. There is a subgroup in the general population who cannot eat nuts because they are allergic to nuts. And that is why we refer to the general population. Well, Sir Williams identified the extra-sensitive subgroup, a vulnerable minority, who need help and support while scientific recognition of EHS proceeds. And he went on to say his work was being selectively reported in January of 2005. He said in the Stewart report, it's not possible to say categorically that there are not health effects, but what has come out from the industry is that mobile phones are safe and that they have very selective, or that they have been very selective about what they said about the report. Now, the most high-profile case of electrical hypersensitivity is Gro Harlem Brundtland, the last Secretary General of the World Health Organization. That's called the WHO. She is a medical doctor and former Prime Minister of Norway. Her account of how she is affected is given in her own words as an appendix click here for Gro Harlem Brundtland. The WHO have a program of research on EHS and its implications, and it is held as a chief scientific conference in Prague last October 25th to 27th, a workshop on electrical hypersensitivity. Here in the UK, the NRPB is examining some microwave health effects under their ongoing mobile telephone health research program. As a doctor with a specialist interest in apparently idiopathic conditions over the past 25 years, I am respectfully offering my assistance in diagnosis and treatment of what has been called this modern emerging illness. For an excellent, relatively brief introduction, read The Electrical Hypersensitivity, A Modern Illness by Alice Dare and Gene Phillips of www.powerwatch.org.uk. Now, the health effects of pulsed microwaves, such as those found around mobile phone base stations, include sleep disruption, nosebleeds, headaches, migraines, lethargy, increased blood pressure, skin problems, the triggering of epileptic attacks, and electrical hypersensitivity. For commercial reasons, companies deny these effects as well as the long-term carcinogenic possibilities that we are not dealing with those here in this paper. Well, let me pause right here and give you a reminder that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri, and the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. And the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school and is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week and has our radio log schedule and archives and can be accessed through the website. And the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or of this local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. If you'd like a copy of today's programs, many of these programs are downloaded without sources. However, my boy Dirk reminded me that if you type in microwave into a search engine, just microwave or microwave radiation, you'll come up with more than 70 sites that have information on this topic. Now, it is not well reported in the mainstream press. I do not hear Katie Couric or Brian Williams reporting anything about electromagnetic pulse or radiation. And, of course, the industry will do everything they can to hush it up. But that doesn't mean that there isn't plenty of information out there. And I'm just giving you the tip of the iceberg. I selected here about 14 articles, I guess. And this one on bees I thought was especially timely, seeing how this colony collapse syndrome, as they're beginning to call it, just seems to come up in the last couple of years. Now, I'm an old-timey beekeeper. I'm familiar with foul brood and bee disorders and disease and mice and predators are getting into hives, bears and one thing and another. But this is a mystery. This is a wild new card that's never been played before, and it's been played out on four continents simultaneously. Everybody reporting the same phenomenon. Now, from my experience, when you get a disease in a hive, it's full of sick bees, and it's got dead bees all over the place. I mean, there's bees in the hive. There's activity. Now, I haven't had this colony collapse syndrome, but I'm reading about it, and what they're telling me is that you open the hive and it's empty. All of the bees are gone. The queen's gone. The brood is gone. Everybody's gone. And so, of course, everybody's scratching their heads, you know, in the industry, and they're saying, well, we've never seen anything like this before. And so what we're hearing, you know, in the mainstream press is, well, gee, maybe it's a virus. Well, hell, that's common. That's been going on for hundreds of years. Well, maybe it's a disease. Well, shucks, we've had diseases for a long time. It doesn't manifest itself in this way. This is something new. This is something different. And, of course, nobody wants to admit it. It's like a drug company, you know, the Merck company put out a drug called Vioxx. And I saw in the news the other day that they just settled for about $5 billion with, I don't know, 100,000 people. something like that. And Merck denied that they had any problems with Vioxx. They advertised it, made billions of dollars on it, and used the public as a guinea pig. That's common practice. It's been going on for a long time. The people at the FDA are in bed with the pharmaceutical industry. The people in government are in bed with the telecommunications industry. If you're expecting government or the industry to come out and say, oh my God, we're killing people, and we're sorry as hell, we're going to take down our microwave towers. I mean, you know, if you believe that, you'd believe in Lilliputia and La La Land and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. That isn't going to happen. Now, there's an ultimate solution here that you and I have to come up with. I mean, that's... goes without saying. It's like being sprayed, you know, by the U.S. Air Force. They're not going to stop the spraying operations. I don't know how many people that kills every year, but the weak people in our society are affected by those chemtrails. And of course, the weak people with weak immune systems, they die first. And so every time they go over and they spray, people with weak immune systems succumb to the spraying operations. Well, you get the same thing going on here now with this radiation. It makes money. The phone companies are just tickled to death. The people out here are tickled to death. They like the convenience. And I don't deny it. It's a hell of a neat convenience. Wireless telephone. I'm going to plug mine into the wall if you want my personal druthers. I think that's what I'll do. Now just talk over the wire like we've always done. But if you want to talk on your wireless phone, that's certainly all right with me. I'm not here to convince you that you ought to stop something or you ought to start something. That's not our modus operandi. You can do what you want to do and when you want to do it. Our objective here is to put out information. We research topics and then we report on them. We research this one out and now here comes the report. There is unfortunately as yet no single determining identifiable symptom declaring this patient has EHS as a fact. Usually patients have suffered from a cluster of these non-attributable, non-specific conditions, which might have a number of causes. Often there is a history of sensitivities to other environmental stimuli, such as hay fever, multiple chemical sensitivities, or MCS, as well as general difficulties dealing with the stresses that life throws up in general. It's common to find a number of different attempts have already been made to self-diagnose or with a variety of practitioners. There is not necessarily neurotic or hypochondriac or a new unrecognized condition. EHS sufferers may search for elucidation over months and indeed years, submitting to tests and treatments of little utility. On the other hand, some EHS sufferers are quite definite. They feel that when they're being zapped by electromagnetic fields and try assiduously to avoid them, it can be disconcerting to hear for the first time a patient say, "Your computer makes me feel sick," or blame fluorescent lights or mobile phones, but to them it is simple everyday fact. From a neurological standpoint, similarities have been pointed out between symptoms of chronic fatigue syndrome, multiple chemical sensitivity syndrome, and EHS, and they result from a breakdown in the body system for dealing with stress. And research suggests that EMFs can affect biological functions by their influence on the production of neurohormones. They act as a biological stressor. British biophysicist Peter Alexander has said that once the individual is sensitized to an agent, the initial aggressor is immaterial. The biological reaction will be the same to all agents. So many EHS are also MCS and are simply hypersensitive to a variety of triggers, including electromagnetic fields. typically from computers and screens, you get an unnatural warmth or burning sensation in the face, a tingling, stinging, or pricking sensation in the face or other areas of the body, dryness of the upper respiratory tract or eye irritation, problems with concentration, dizziness, and loss of memory, swollen mucous membranes, feeling flu-like symptoms of headache, muscle and joint pains, a feeling of impending influenza that never quite breaks out, headache and nausea, teeth and jaw pains, ache in muscles and joints, and cardiac palpitations. Common symptoms of EHS in general, environmental illness can produce nearly any symptom, depending upon the type of irritating exposure and the uniqueness of the individual exposed. One exposure, whether chemical or electrical, can create symptoms of fatigue in one person and hyperactivity in another person. However, EHS symptoms are mainly skin-related initially or neurological. Some individuals are sensitive to electrical sources affecting them. And this means they're immediately aware of the effect of, for instance, someone using nearby mobile phone, or as Gro Harlem Brundtland experienced. Now, for some, this is painfully so in the form of a sharp head pain, similar to a migraine headache. Others are less sensible to a source or sensitive to a source directly, but suffer from a more diffuse variety of symptoms that may also result from other predisposing triggers in particular sources can be difficult to identify, even for the patient, never mind the doctor. Now, considered by some to be the commonest symptoms of all of this is a powerful form of tinnitus. Not the common ringing in the ears, but a sensation of buzzing, sizzling, MW hearing through and the oral tract. The higher the levels of electromagnetic radiation are, then the stronger the tinnitus becomes. Reactions may involve eye trouble, smarting, irritating sensations like grit in your eyes, and increased sensitivity to light, especially fluorescent lights, computer screens, and even sunshine. Some sufferers are forced to remain indoors more and draw curtains. Skin problems are common symptoms of hypersensitivity, and backed up by Swedish scientific research from, for instance, Professor Olli Johansson, the number of mast cells in exposed skin are increased by quite limited computer screen exposure. Your skin feels dry with a tendency to redness and rashes, and there may be tingling sensations either facially or elsewhere on your body. Nosebleeds are moderately common. Among the joint, muscle, and limb sensations the EHS sufferers endure are aches, pains, and numbness, weakness, or prickling sensations in their joints, bones, and muscles, in their shoulders, arms, and legs, feet, wrists, ankles, elbows, pelvis, and cramps in their arms and legs. Many people experience feelings of fatigue or abnormal tiredness. Also, weakness, tremor, faintness, and dizziness are experienced. And there are ingestion and digestion disturbances, including dry mouth, loss of appetite, nausea, excessive thirst, loss of taste, gagging, sickly feeling in your stomach, stomach upset and bowel disturbances. Breathing can become a problem with shallow labored breath, breathlessness, or a feeling of pressure on the chest. Cardiac palpitations are also quite common. There are cognitive effects that are being unable to think clearly, finding it difficult to concentrate and suffering from short-term memory loss. The latter two are noted particularly with high mobile phone use. Feelings of warmth or heating of your head may be mentioned. Psychological symptoms include bad temper and irritability, also depression, withdrawal, anxiety, hysteria, feeling insane, out of control, as if your mind is being interfered with. Isolation is a common consequence, as relationships are strained by disbelief. Suicidal tendencies may be acted upon when severe depression sets in. Other symptoms are a generalized feeling of impending influenza, which never quite breaks out, back and spinal or neck problems, buzzing and ringing in the ears, an exceptional sensitivity to sunlight, which means staying in the dark during the day, intermittent electric shocks from mild to strong are felt in various parts of the body. Most EHS people suffer from resonance migraines believed to result from pulsed fields on the brainstem. Pulsed microwaves are said to have a direct effect on vulnerable persons, causing brain seizures, epilepsy, and certainly in some children. Now, if you think that's bad, there is some bigger, badder, nastier stuff coming down the pike. Now, I reported on this at least partially. Let me give you a further review of what's coming in the future. There's a deadlier death ray that's coming up. In the meantime, the radiation cowboys of America are having a good old time because they know that there's no sheriff in town. The commercial wireless industry is relentless in their drive to construct thousands of new transmitter sites in neighborhoods and schoolyards everywhere, while adding more powerful antennas at its older sites. Countless Wi-Fi systems, both indoors and out, accommodate wireless laptop computers, personal digital assistants, Wi-Fi-enabled phones, gaming devices, video cameras, even parking and utility meters. Hundreds of cities already have or are planning to fund Wi-Fi networks, each consisting of thousands of small microwave transmitters bolted to buildings, street lamps, park benches, and bus stops. Some networks are being buried under sidewalks. These access points or nodes blast carcinogenic energy at 2.4 to 5 gigahertz with virtually no warning signs about radiation exposure. Wi-Fi radiation is totally unregulated by the FCC. Sprint, Nextel, and Clearwire are now rolling out in the United States cities tower-mounted WiMAX transmitters providing wireless internet access to die for. WiMAX is Wi-Fi on steroids. When started up, the WiMAX transmitters near the Swedish village of Gotin, the emergency room at the local hospital was flooded by calls from people that had become overcome with pulmonary and cardiovascular symptoms. WiMAX radiation could one day be cranked up to a bone incinerating 66 gigahertz. A single WiMAX tower could provide internet coverage for an area of 3,000 square miles, although coverage for 6 to 25 square miles is now the norm. Promoters say WiMAX may someday replace all cable and DSL broadband services and irradiate virtually everyone in the rural areas. Yet not a single environmental or public health study has ever been required as the industry unleashes infrastructure for this savage new wireless technology, from which no living flesh will escape. The commercial ray peddlers are not alone in their quest to make the United States a radiation wasteland. In August of 2007, Congress approved new Homeland Security legislation, which funds a program to promote communications compatibility between local, state, and federal officials. We catch a glimpse of what this portends as the state of New York gears up to erect hundreds of new wireless installations for a statewide wireless network. This system will blanket 97% of the state of New York, allowing agencies at various government levels to communicate instantly while greatly adding to the fog of commercial wireless pollution. The New York Office for Technology says that the radiation power densities of the system, or densities, I guess that is, densities of the system, will be within FCC limits. That assurance should give us the shivers. Now let me report to you what this FCC limit is. They have placed such a high limit on the amount of gigahertz that can be broadcast that no one, that is broadcasters, can ever be in violation of the standards. So you could be living across the street from a microwave antenna or a tower. They can ramp up the authorized amount of power being put out. Let's say they're putting out 100 watts. This is pretty common. That's what their license calls for. They can ramp that thing up to 900 watts, nine times the authorized output. They can be subjecting you to this increased output, and you don't have anything to say about it. Because the amount that is being experienced by you is always within the guidelines. That's how high it is. Even though we have seen here that there can be very small amounts, 0.01 of these watts per cubic meter can be enough to give you these debilities. And they can be giving you up to 580. 0.1 can make you sick, and they can put out 580. Now, that isn't even realistic. This has been known now for the last 20 or 30 years. When radar first came out about 1939, it was a new technology. Over time, watching radar technicians and their health problems, and then comparing those to the general population, told us clear back in the 1940s and 50s that this microwave radiation was dangerous, caused disease, it causes health problems. But, of course, it only affected a small number of people. It isn't something, you know, that you get today, and then you go home and you die with next week. It's something that you're exposed to today that may give you cataracts in 20 years. It may give you cancer in 20 or 30 years. Now, there are some examples of people getting cancer with high enough dosages with just in a few years. Workers who are actually working on these microwave towers have an incidence of cancer that's off the charts. So if you're one of these microwave workers over here, you may have a real problem. Now, Angela Flynn is a 48-year-old caregiver. She lives in Santa Cruz, California. Last spring, she took classes at a local church where wireless antennas were concealed in a chimney on the building. Every muscle in my body felt sore and my joints were feeling creaky. My instructor mentioned how people at the women's center on church property had similar symptoms. During my sixth day, I had a severe reaction. My short-term memory was gone. I was disoriented and confused. And when the instructor asked a question, I couldn't recall anything from the lecture. At night, Angela couldn't sleep, and she would lie awake, feeling her body buzz. She became hypersensitive to other sources of electromagnetic radiation. The symptoms became so bothersome that she canceled the rest of her course using a chart for calculating cumulative non-ionizing electromagnetic radiation exposure levels. She found that the class is located only 100 feet from antennas in the building. She had suffered the highest possible exposure during peak operation. It took a month before I regained my health, she reports. When Angela wrote letters to the church inquiring whether it was monitoring the health of the people exposed to the antenna radiation, church officials were unresponsive and dismissive. So Angela saw the light. She helped organize a community group to put pressure on county officials for answers. After hearing community testimony, officials directed the zoning department to create a comprehensive map of county transmitter sites and then to put together a report on emissions testing. Angela says, "We recently had a delay of an installation of a tower near a middle school. The superintendent has even come out against the tower and was instrumental in delaying the hearing on the site. He also arranged a school board meeting on the issue, and Angela's efforts to share critical information with her community made a difference." So America must soon face its radiation cataclysm. This EMR network says that millions of workers occupy work sites on a daily basis where operating antenna arrays are camouflaged and where there are no RF safety programs carried out. Thanks to shameless predatory advertising techniques, American youth are now literally addicted to texting, watching TV, and accessing the internet on tiny wireless screens. Now, these are the toys that keep cell towers and Wi-Fi hotspots buzzing. A nation that requires compulsory mass radiation to fuel its trivial entertainment needs is surely destined to have a sickly and short-lived population. And right now, 11.7 million Americans have been diagnosed with cancer because humans can harbor cancer conditions for years before detection. Additional millions of cancer victims are yet undiagnosed. And the Journal of Oncology Practice predicts that by 2020, there will be so many cancer cases in the United States that doctors will not be able to cope with their caseloads. And the report concludes the nation could soon face a shortage of up to 4,000 cancer specialists. So let's hear it for electromagnetic radiation. Now I'm about out of time again. I got to give you a final reminder that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. And we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard 7 days a week worldwide over the Internet daily. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School offers a free four-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. We got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.